Good morning and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. For some 50 years now, nestled here in the trees of the southwest Portland, Oregon, on the land of the Kalapuya and the Multnomah original peoples, and affectionately known as Woof. I'm Salima Malson. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my absolute joy and privilege to be part of this morning service, an hour or so where we will gather to engage in the celebration of community. Whether you come this morning with a heart bursting with joy or one that has been broken open by the persistent tragedies of the world, know that you are welcome here. You're welcome here, whoever you are, wherever you've been, or where you're going. Whether you're just taking a little Sunday break in your summer travels or seriously searching for a spiritual home, we are so glad that you're with us on this typical Oregon morning. So let's begin by standing together in body or spirit and singing with gusto from the gray hymnal number 346, Come Sing a Song with Me.
That I might know your mind, and I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find, and I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time. Come dream a dream with me. That I might know your mind, and I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find, and I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time. Come walk in rain with me.
That's the hard part, settling back down again. But we'll all have a chance to continue these conversations downstairs after the service. There'll be coffee and a group soup today. And then we'll come back up here for our annual meeting as well. A lot going on. A lot going on today. Well, we live in contentious times. We live in contentious times with a strong tendency to label everything and everyone. It's white, black, left, right, red, blue, pro this, anti that. It's enough to make us all feel dizzy. So here's a starter question for us this morning. When was the last time that any of us sat down with a person whose labels did not match ours for the sole purpose of simply getting to know their mind? Not to try to change it, just to know it and to hear what was on their hearts. This morning, our guest speaker, Sandra Nelson, offers us an opportunity to consider how sharing and understanding our differences might actually serve to enrich our lives as we make our way through these contentious times. Alberto Rios tells us in one of his poems, "You gave me blue, and I gave you yellow. Together we are simple green. You gave me what you did not have, and I gave you what I had to give. Together we made something greater from the difference. Together we made something greater from the difference." So let us begin then, as we always begin, with the lighting of our chalice, the symbol of our shared and scattered faith. And as Paisley brings the flame to life, let us speak together the responsive reading that is coming up on the screen. It's called "This House." Your parts are in bold. And we will begin. Thank you, Paisley. As we light our chalice this morning, may its flame remind us that this house is for the ingathering of all nature, human and otherwise, a welcoming space that embraces both struggle and celebration, that guards the dignity and value of each person, including children, each one loved and respected exactly as they are. This house offers a platform for free voice and the mutually respectful expression of conflicts of opinion. It is a house of truth-seeking, where scientists can encourage devotion to their quest in community with humanists, pagans, and spiritual seekers alike. It is a house of art and music where our shared ministry is enhanced by new ideas and creativity. It is a house of prophecy, outrunning times past and times present, with its ever-evolving vision of growth and progress.
This house is
both the cradle for our dreams and the workshop that brings our dreams to life. And may our amen be the singing of Spirit of Life.
Spirit of compassion.
you, Gail in Virginia. The circle of gratitude and giving is such an important part of WOOF. It's what makes us who we are, and it makes us the ever-evolving, beloved community that we seek to become. In a few moments, our offering baskets will pass among you, and we will gratefully receive whatever financial gift you may choose to give. But beyond that, and just as important, we are ever grateful for the many other gifts you bring to this community, whether they be in the form of volunteering to help with coffee or soup, whether working on the grounds, or maybe just listening to someone's sadness or concern. If our ushers will come forward. Thank you. Thank you. And if there's something this morning that you're especially grateful for and you'd like to call it out, please feel free to do that now.
This community.
Someone say rain.
My friends.
Always something to be grateful for. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you for your generous offerings this morning. Join me, please, in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Aha. And now, if the children would come forward to the front rows. It's going to be Paisley's grandma, Noreen, who is sharing a story with us. And it's titled, We Disagree. You're going to use that? Okay. It's going to be a little tall for you, I think. Oh, good.
We disagree. All our lives were told to be agreeable. And it really goes against our grain sometimes to disagree. But it's okay also. Let's see how this works. We Disagree by Bethany Dini Mergua.
Hello. Hello. Do you like figs?
No. I don't snack on twigs.
Do you like blue? Do you like dots? Polka dots?
No. I like red. I don't like spots.
Do you like newts and toads and frogs?
No way. I like prairie dogs.
Do you like warm and sunny skies?
I prefer gray. The sun hurts my eyes.
Do you like skates? Do you like bikes? I don't like wheels. I'd rather hike. You must like flutes, guitars, and drums. No, click. No, and no.
Click, click.
I'd rather run. Whoops. He'd rather run. Excuse me. He'd rather hum. Hum, hum-de-dum.
What's wrong with blue? What's wrong with frogs?
What's wrong with gray and prairie dogs?
We don't agree. We can't be friends. There's nothing more. This is the end.
Yes, I agree.
Wait, wait, what did you say? What happens next? We just agreed. I'm quite perplexed. We're not the same.
Indeed, that's true.
Agreed again.
But why choose blue? Whoops. But why choose blue?
Well, blue is the sea, and blue is the sky.
But red is leaves and cherry pie.
Hey! Let's disagree more.
Let's disagree, yes.
Do you like friends?
I'll let you guess.
Now, if you all please stand and form an arch, we'll sing the children off to their RE class.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Noreen. We. La la. So we agree, we disagree, and we stay friends, because friends are important. A poem now by Joyce Sutphin. Now that anything could happen. You now know that anything could happen. Things that never happened before. Things that only happened in movies and nightmares are happening now, as if nothing could stop them. You know now that you are not safe. You know you live in fragile skin and bones, that even steel and concrete can melt away, and that the earth itself can come unhinged, shaken from its orbit around the sun. You know now that anything can happen. It's hard to know what will. And what will you do now that you know? What words will you say now that you could say anything? What hands will you hold? Whose heart will beat inside you? We've come to the time in our service when we settle in a little deeper. We open our hearts not only to the tremendous beauty and joy that life brings us every day, but to the grief and sorrow that walks right alongside it. Our musical interlude offers us some time to honor your particular joy or sorrow by coming forward and placing a stone in the bowl of water here on our chalice table, or to simply hold it quietly in meditation or prayer, as may be your custom. For those who choose to come forward, I will have a mic for you to share a few words aloud if you wish. And those of you who want to share in this way, please, once the music begins, come forward up this aisle and across, place your stone in the water, and go back to your seats. When everyone's back, we'll have a few more moments of silence, and then we'll sing together our old familiar song, "The River is Flowing." A stone for all of the joys and sorrows that surround us, the tragedies that are out there in the world, and everything that is on our hearts this morning. Into the water that is our community, that is able to hold all of it. Now, as we prepare to welcome our guest speaker, Sandra Nelson, who comes to us as an ambassador of the Oregon chapter of Braver Angels, a national organization dedicated to helping make difficult conversations easier. I invite you to take another deeper breath. Relax your body. Close your eyes if you like. And hear these words from Rosemary Traumer, titled, On a Day When the World Has Its Way with Me. Like every other day, today it is apparent that only love will save us. Not in the grandiose abstract way, but in the alarming specific way. As in forgiveness, now. As in choosing to hug instead of fighting back. As in taking 3 deep breaths before saying something we regret. It saves us from thirsting in the desert of our lives. But only if we save it first by choosing it now in this moment of clenched thoughts. Now in this moment when we would rather taste venom, but instead we pour love into our cup, bring it to our lips, and drink and drink and drink until once again it is only love that makes sense. Only love that refills the cup. And now let's give a warm welcome to Sandra Nelson.
What a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thank you for the honor and the privilege. And I thank you, Salima.
Make sure
too.
We get that.
Thank you, Salima, too.
Is that right? Is that good?
Okay. Good. You've helped me prepare this in so many ways, including that beautiful poem you just read, and I appreciate that. It's very powerful and meaningful. In fact, the poem that Salima just read deeply reflects the attitude of braver angels. Only love will save us, not in the grandiose, abstract way, but in the alarming, specific way. Braver angels is one of the alarming, specific ways that people can learn how to express love. It's alarming in a sense because we choose to think, to break out of our secure bubbles, and it's specific because we do this with real individuals who are different from us and with whom we meet face to face. We learn how to hug one another instead of fighting back with angry words or clenched thoughts. We choose a better way, a braver way. I first heard about braver angels a few years ago from my younger brother, Frank, very intelligent, bright fellow, and I'm not a bit biased. He lives a little over an hour's drive from Austin, Texas, where a braver angels event was held. He told me that red-leaning and blue-leaning got together and discussed a hot political topic. I thought, and he said each side was allowed to present their views and answer questions from the participants. It was orderly and respectful. He told me an older woman had come up to him afterwards and told him that she'd never heard his views before, and she wanted to hear more, but he lived an hour's drive away, and he wasn't going to get involved with the braver angels there on a regular basis. It was too far for him. But I found his story intriguing. The idea of people voluntarily leaving their bubbles and coming together to share opposing ideas in a respectful and civil way, that's an alarming, specific way to show love. And I hadn't even read this poem that Selena had read to us just now, but I wanted to learn more. So I went online and read more about it. First, I wondered why this organization was called Braver Angels. It almost sounds like some kind of religious organization with the angels there, right? But it isn't. Braver Angels was originally called Better Angels, inspired by Abraham Lincoln's plea for national unity in his first inaugural address of March 1861, just 1 month before the outbreak of the Civil War. He said at the end of the address, "I am loath to close. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory, stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." But the Better Angels organization had to change its name in 2020 because some other organization had chosen that name and used it for its trademark. So Better Angels decided to call itself instead Braver Angels. A good choice, actually, since it takes bravery and courage to stand up for the better angels of our nature. Nevertheless, the reason for that original name continues to be most important. In Lincoln's day, the country was even more volatile and divided than today. It led to a civil war. We would like to avoid that today. So Better Angels, now Braver Angels, was launched just 8 years ago. Today it's a 501c3 membership organization led by a small staff and many volunteers. Its mission? To bring Americans together, to bridge the partisan divide, and strengthen our democratic republic. That's a worthy mission. I hope you agree. A year or two ago, I participated in a Zoom workshop and have been a member ever since. How does Braver Angels work to accomplish this mission of bridging the partisan divide and strengthening our democratic republic, or in the poignant words of our poet, of breaking us out of our clenched thoughts and saving us from thirsting in the desert of our lives? Our organization is a national organization with state alliances and local alliances. At every level of organization and decision-making, both red-leaning and blue-leaning directors are involved. Our organization practices what it preaches. The goal is always to try to have an equal number of reds, blues, and others to seek commonality for the common good. Here's the official word from Braver Angels regarding our approach. As individuals, we try to understand the other side's point of view, even if we do not agree with it. In our communities, we engage those we disagree with, looking for common ground and ways to work together. In politics, we support principles that bring us together rather than divide us. We invite people in our communities to come together intentionally to discuss hot political topics, but in a certain way. Is there something wrong with this?
It's a very pointed microphone. It has to be pointed right at
you. Okay, are people not hearing me properly? Is this better?
That's better.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the concern is primarily for people online. If you're not speaking into the mic well, we can't hear you.
Okay, thanks. Good to know. This is better. If I get off, wave or something. Would you please? Thanks. Okay, so we invite people in our communities to come together intentionally to discuss hot political topics, but in a certain way that does not add fuel to the fire of our passions, but rather seeks to understand and build bridges in a respectful and civil way. That doesn't come naturally to most of us. Most of us can use some help in developing the skills to exercise our better, braver angels. Oh, this is a challenge. But in my opinion, it takes a certain kind of person who would even be willing to participate in such discussions. It takes people of goodwill, people who are willing to listen and to try to see the humanity of another person with whom we disagree, people who choose to hug instead of fighting back. In fact, I wondered in particular about you. I asked myself, I wonder what they're like. Are the people who attend West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship such a people of goodwill? Would they be open to the mission and approach of braver angels? To answer those questions, I went online and read the Unitarian Universalist Principles and Sources and was delighted to read how beautifully your own principles and sources seem to align with the braver angels' way. Granted, none of us always lives up to our ideals, but they do give us a standard and something to strive for. I will assume that you are all acquainted with your own principles and sources. So let me share the braver angels' way. And by the way, there are copies of this downstairs on the table, so you can pick up copies if you choose to. There are 8 principles altogether, all short. I'll read them and you can make your own judgment about how they align with your own personal values and choices. Here they are. We state our views freely and fully without fear. We treat people who disagree with us with honesty, dignity, and respect. We welcome opportunities to engage those with whom we disagree. We believe all of us have blind spots and none of us is not worth talking to. We seek to disagree accurately, avoiding exaggeration and stereotypes. We look for common ground where it exists and, if possible, find ways to work together. We believe that in disagreements, both sides share and learn. In braver angels, neither side is teaching the other or giving feedback on how to think or say things differently. Great ideals, you may be thinking, but can these make a difference in anyone's life? They can. And I'll give you a few examples from my own life. If you can believe it, I have some family members who disagree with me when it comes to politics. I assume you have the same situation. It seems to be hitting all of us these days. Well, a certain family member or two will call me names, belittle me in front of other family members, not answer my questions, and just generally blast me with their ideas. They pay little attention to what I have to say, and in my opinion, facts don't seem to matter. I assume some of you can relate to what I'm saying. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, we all can, it seems. But they live a couple thousand miles away, and so I can't invite them to a local Braver Angels event. But I do my best to remember the Braver Angels way, including treating those people with dignity and respect, avoiding exaggeration and stereotyping, remembering that every person is worth talking to, and seeking those areas of commonality. I can't control their words or their thinking, but I can control mine. And I can also shift to the conversation to other topics, avoiding certain hot topics altogether. And I can choose to pour love into their cup. Here's another example. Several months ago, at one of the monthly luncheons I attend, I asked the leader of this group of women if I might have just 30 seconds to make a simple but important request to the women. And she told me, no. I was shocked. I suddenly lost my appetite. I did, and I left the meeting to just sit and think and pray and cool down. I was very angry. Eventually, I realized that I needed to go back to this leader and discuss this very hot topic with her, but in a good way, the braver angels' way. So after the meeting, when most of the women had left, I asked her if I might talk with her about our difference of opinion. She agreed. We sat down, and I told her that I was not here to argue with her, but to seek clarification. And I was amazed at her response. She immediately relaxed, and I thought, this is good. This works. It was very effective. We had a wonderful conversation. She asked my forgiveness and readily agreed that I could speak at the next meeting. And we hugged, having chosen a better way than fighting one another. Here's one last example of the value of the Braver Angels Way. Besides being an ambassador for Braver Angels, I'm a candidate for public office, and I go door to door several days a week talking with all kinds of people about all kinds of subjects. It's incredibly fun and stimulating, and I get to practice the Braver Angels Way again and again and again. It's true. My natural tendency is to want to defend my position and argue. But I try very hard to remember the Braver Angels Way, to listen, to learn from the other person, to treat each person at the door with honesty, dignity, and respect. And it works there too. Here's just one example. Recently, I had told a certain woman at her door something I had heard, and she responded, "I don't think that's true. I think that's a gross exaggeration." And she went on Google right away to check it out in front of me, which was fine. And it appears that what I had heard indeed was an exaggeration. Or maybe I just hadn't heard it right. But I apologized to her and thanked her for giving me better information. And though we had very different points of view on a number of topics, we were able to laugh together and parted on good terms. I'm convinced that the Braver Angels Way is a better way to go. You may be wondering, well, what exactly does Braver Angels do as an organization to help people not to taste venom, but to choose a better way? I'll quickly run down for you a list of most of the things that we do, our activities. I'll go fast, but it's a lot. We hold community workshops that build skills for all kinds of difficult conversations in various settings, and other workshops that bring red and blue together to experience how to communicate better with one another, digging deeper into specific issues. We sponsor debates, exchanging ideas in a thoughtful and respectful way, making sure each side is heard. We form alliances, local groups of red, blue, and other members who meet regularly. We provide opportunities to talk directly with someone from a different perspective, called one-to-one conversations. We encourage citizens to engage candidates, public officials, and political staff. We offer corporate sessions to help companies build constructive approaches to civil discourse. We offer college debates programs, experiences of civil debates and discourse for students. And we have a library, film club, music club, podcasts, and a whole lot more. It's an amazing selection of things that they do. It just blows me away. To learn about these, you can visit our website and simply braverangels.org. There's something there for everybody. I'm sure you'll find something there for yourself, too. But I'd like to close with just a few brief personal observations. Obviously, Braver Angels isn't for everyone. I met just a couple of people who passed by our Braver Angels booth at the Oregon State Fair last summer, and this one person explained, "There's no way I want to get together with a bleepity-bleep group of people who have such bleepity-bleep ideas. It's not worth my time trying to talk with those bleepity-bleep people." That's just about a perfect quote, except for the bleeps. Happily, most people had a very positive response, though, to our organization. Following the Braver Angels Way is humbling. I've learned that I'm not always right. And sometimes I actually change my mind. I've learned that no one person or even one group has all the information and all the knowledge. It's through listening and interacting with one another that we have a better opportunity to find truth and wisdom. Related to that, I've learned not to judge or cancel people altogether just because I disagree with them on one or two of their decisions. The danger is that we can try to create bubbles populated with people who are as much like us as possible, shutting out others with whom we have differences. If we continue to do that over time, we could end up with just ourselves alone in our safe, comfortable bubble, but lonely and distorted bubble of reality. And finally, to truly engage with people at a meaningful level takes time. 10-second sound bites or retorts just don't cut it. Braver Angels organizes that time and gives us opportunities to practice a better way of relating with others. I hope we will all choose a day when Braver Angels has its way with us. Thank you for your time and for the privilege of meeting with you. I would like to close with one final quote from Abraham Lincoln that summarizes the honesty and heart of Braver Angels. Mr. Lincoln said, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you this morning, and I think we may have time for a few questions, comments.
Offer up. I will come and pass the mic. We'll start that.
Thank you very much. Hello?
It's on.
Okay.
Oh, and now I've taken it away from.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Hey.
Thank you very much. The problem that I have found common and intractable is one that you mentioned in your example about a family member. Can you say more about how do you talk to someone when their opinion is reasonable given what they consider facts, but what they believe is based on something that's factually false, and you can look it up, but they're going to disagree with your source and say your source is lying, their source is true. And if you believed their source, you would completely agree with them.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Can you hear me okay?
No.
Well, maybe I can speak louder. I don't know how to use these things.
Sorry, we're trying to figure out which mic to turn the volume up on.
Okay. Meanwhile...
Thank you. I don't know that I have a great answer to that question, but I know that they do have, Braver Angels has a specific workshop for knowing how to work with family members, right? Demetra? Demetra's here too. She's with Braver Angels as well. And so.
That might be in development. I don't think it's like out there yet, to my knowledge, but there.
Hold on. Sorry. But there are. Two signature workshops that we offer. One is called Depolarizing Within, which is about regulating and managing oneself and our emotions that happen when we're in this kind of a tough conversation. And the other one is called Skills for Bridging the Divide, and those help to hone listening and engagement skills. So there are certain questions that we can ask to at least like open the door to moving the conversation to more inquiry. Oh, so tell me more about that source. So where did you hear that source? Does this come up more often? How can I learn more about that? I'd like to know more about that. And so the more that we can engage in a way that is as non-judgmental as possible, but more based on inquiry and explanation or exploration, helps the other side, whether that's us, because sometimes we're that person, or the other person, right, to start questioning to start actually asking their own questions about this source. Maybe this is not the only source, or maybe this source does have a bias. What's your bias? Oh, we both have biases. So, yeah, there are some pretty good workshops out there that we offer for listening and speaking skills.
Yeah, let me just explain.
No, keep going.
All right, let me just explain that Demetra is one of our state leaders, and she came to give me some moral support today, which I appreciate. But to get back to that, I really believe that it matters whom we believe, whom we trust. Our sources differ, and they do contradict each other often, and that's frustrating because we think we have the facts, and we trust the people who told us these things, and we've read these things, and yet there are other points of view and seemingly other facts. I struggle with that still. I don't know how to do that, how to handle that totally.
Okay, we're going to take one more question, and then we're going to close and sing ourselves out of the sanctuary in the company of Holly Neer and her gang.
With regard to the issues we were just talking about, I have a very dear, dear friends who've moved to Arizona because they prefer the politics there, and we could not have had more divergent attitudes about vaccines. And I realized because they trusted their sources, I listened, I looked around, and I really trusted my resources. The bottom line was, I love you guys, and bottom line, I want us all to be safe. And I hope, however this works out, you are safe in the end, because you're my friend, and I love you.
Love wins.
Well, and it just, one of them in particular just wanted to keep arguing, and I just said, the bottom line is, I just want you to be safe.
Yeah.
And I did, in mental health, we would talk about the broken record. Once you've come to a point where this is where it is for me, you just quietly, calmly report that, repeat that. I love you. I want you to be safe.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I think you are of such a good mind here that you can help each other probably figure out a lot of these issues too. Maybe with a little help from braver angels as well.
I love you, and I want you to be safe. What a great way to end our time together in the sanctuary this morning. Let's say thank you to Sandra, and she will be downstairs having coffee and soup with us. So if you've got more questions for her, don't hesitate. Do let us close now, though, with, as we usually do, standing together, forming circles, that and extinguishing the chalice. Yes.